Oh, boy. This is something, isn't it?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Austin. How are you? I'm going to try to have a day where I only use your real name, I've decided.
I feel like that'll be weird for you.
Is that agreeable to you?
Yeah, we could roll with it today.
Let's try that. There's all kinds of things happening. I wrote about Mike Tomlin for the Post-Gazette today. It feels like he's on the comeback trail a little bit. Feels like he's made a lot of right moves since, I think, hitting bottom last year. But that's a topic for later in the show. We're going to open with a six-pack. I don't know. Is everybody? I'm okay. You're okay? Everything's good?
I'm good.
All right. God bless me. I had. Are you into the whole pumpkin thing? Pumpkin spice this, cookies that, coffee here. There's now pumpkin spice pretzels. This is like a national phenomenon every year where, like, is there pumpkin spice pasta? I'm sure there is. Is there pumpkin spice pizza? People fall for the pumpkin thing, and I'm right there with them. I felt celebratory. I felt like I was treating myself when I had two cups of pumpkin spice coffee today. Are you swept up in the pumpkin spice phenomenon?
I am not a coffee drinker, so that's probably partly why I'm not all up in the pumpkin
flavors.
Forget
about coffee. I'm talking everything, everything.
I love pumpkin pie, Joe. It's my favorite type of pie.
Yeah.
Especially right around this time where, I mean, if you look outside, the weather is just, starting to get a little disgusting.
Yeah.
Even though the temperature's still fine, but we're getting rain. It's starting to get colder. It's the perfect time to cozy up with a blanket, watch some football, and eat some pumpkin pie on a Sunday afternoon.
Very well said. I mean, I was talking more. Pumpkin pie is a staple, right?
Yes.
I mean, pumpkin pie, you go back to 1920, people are eating pumpkin pie. They're not having pumpkin spice pretzels back then. Everything
right.
is pumpkin spice. That's what I'm trying to get at here, Limits.
Yeah.
Are you into any of the pumpkin spice novelty? Pumpkin spice pizza, things like that. Why is everything pumpkin?
There's pumpkin
pizza? I know why,
pizza?
Because people buy. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I like the cookies.
You know
I
what?
Like the pumpkin cookies.
You do?
But that's about it, yeah.
I'm sure there is pumpkin spice pizza. I'm going to look that up right now. Here it is, pumpkin spice pizza. The best pumpkin pizza recipes. It's out there. What are we doing? Does everything have to be pumpkin related?
Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
I do like the Hawaiian pizza. Yes, pumpkin and Canadian bacon. I used to be
a
pizza maker.
That's good.
Yeah, that was the Hawaiian.
You like the meat lover's pizza?
Yeah, I do. When Slice on Broadway brings that every week, it's absolutely scrumptious.
And it's pizza day today.
Oh my God, it's pizza day today. Should we call in advance and see if they can bring a pumpkin pizza? I'm game for that.
If
I'm
you
willing
think
to try that.
That they actually would oblige that. And
oh, I know they would oblige
the merit,
it.
Have the merits to do that. Be my guest.
They can do anything they want. I'm afraid a six-pack won't suffice today.
Or like a 10-pack.
I'm really hyped up. I wonder what my blood pressure is right now.
You must have had a lot of pumpkin coffee this morning.
On an empty stomach. It felt
never a good thing.
It felt and feels fairly high. And I feel like I'm missing something. You ever wake up plagued by the thought that you're missing something?
You know, all the time.
I had an unbelievable dream, and this is not political. This is not politically affiliated. I just remembered this. I slept in the basement last night. We have a great new couch in the basement, by the way. I splurged on a couch because my daughter and her friends like to hang out, and I figured, why not hang out at our house? I like having them under one roof where I don't have to worry about her being somewhere else, all beside the point. But the couch is like a, you know, that helps keep them there, right? They can all hang out down there. Well, last night it was me watching the WNBA playoffs, I might add, Limits, and I fell asleep there. And then I woke up at 4 and couldn't get back to sleep. And then I finally did. And when my wife came down to finish the laundry from the night before, I woke up. And right before that, I had the most vivid dream you can imagine. I was walking on a street in Florida with RFK Jr. and his wife, who is the woman from Curb Your Enthusiasm. What's her name?
I never saw Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It was me, him, and her walking. Why? Why? We were walking down a street. She gave me tickets to an event, and I was pushing a shopping cart on a street in Florida. Why is that? And what's her name? And why are dreams so vivid?
And dreams are vivid. And, you know, sometimes dreams, at least people say that they're visions into your future. Or is it visions into the past? Which one is it? I know it's a significant difference.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Her name is Cheryl Hines. I was and felt real. I was really walking with them. It was unbelievable. I haven't put any thought into either one of them, really, in my whole life. Why was I walking down a street in the dark in Florida with them pushing a shopping cart? Can you tell me?
No, I cannot.
Neither could Susie.
Is it odd to you that sometimes like you'll have a dream and then 2 days later you'll completely forget all the details of the dream?
Yeah,
does that happen to you?
Yes. Even when I wake up, if the dream was a while ago, I'll forget the details. But today I was jarred awake and every little detail was right on the top of my mind. It was incredible.
Why the shopping cart?
Here's the other thing. I don't know.
You must have been complaining about grocery prices.
Why them? Why me? Why invited to an event? Why a shopping cart? And the other thing was, I remember vividly thinking, all right, I didn't plan to stay in Florida tonight, but I'm going to go to this event, and then I'm going to play golf, and then I'll just do the show tomorrow via phone. That's all that happened in a dream.
Was Ron there?
No, then it would have become a nightmare.
Did you confuse
it was just a dream.
RFK for Ron?
No. Again, it was just a dream, not a nightmare. All right,
the
limits.
The other way around.
Let's go with a 6-pack. This may turn into a 12-pack at some point, and you want to talk about disturbing. Let's go with item number one. Would you crack one, please? Thank you. Pirates DFA Rowdy Tellez, 4 plate appearances shy of a $200,000 bonus. This baseball team finally makes news in September, and it's not on the field. It's not for winning a big baseball game. They haven't played in a big baseball game in almost a decade. And this crap continues to follow them around. We have to watch that guy play all season. They keep throwing him out there. They didn't get rid of him in May. And now they get rid of him with whatever is left. 5 games, 6 games to get a look at the young guys. What are the young guys? What do we don't know about Leover Peguero that we're going to find out in the next 5 games? This is just ridiculous. It's a sad commentary on Pirates ownership. I don't care what they said, even if it were just coincidental. Just can you believe this? 4 plate appearances shy of the bonus, we released the guy? What a coincidence. My bet would be that they didn't think people would find out about this bonus in Rowdy Tellez's contract. And the notion that it's unrelated is so insulting to any reasonable person's intelligence that I don't even know where to start. And of course, they're skewered around the baseball world for this. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. This is the words that come to mind. Classless is one and cheap is the other. Bob Smizek used that exact word in a tweet. Very surprising to see Tellez released with 6 games left, he said, but reports circulating might explain at least Tellez. He also referenced Michael A. Taylor. He had 421 plate appearances and reportedly was due a $200,000 bonus when he reached 425. Can you say classless? And that was the feeling around Major League Baseball. Why is it always when the Pirates make news something like this? Why? Former Major Leaguer Jeff Fry. Hey, Ben Charrington, pretty chicken move to release a guy with a week left in the season to save some money. I can't help but think this won't help the Pirates in free agency this offseason. Well, let's be clear. First of all, Ben Charrington does Bob Nutting's bidding, right? This isn't a Ben Charrington move. This would start with the owner, something like this. And again, I have to believe they had no idea this would become public, right? Like I said, around baseball, this is resounding. Like, can you believe this? Ben Verlander does a really good job covering baseball. Rowdy Tellez was due a $200,000 bonus at 425 plate appearances. The Pirates just DFA'd him. He was at 421. Did him dirty, says Verlander. Doug Whaley was great on this, former NFL GM. On with the morning guys, talking about Paul Skenes and saying if he were Skenes, he would be like, man, wow, I'm counting the days here. I mean, this type of move resounds around the agent player baseball community. It has to. Would it necessarily keep a guy from signing with the Pirates if they were giving him huge money? Maybe not, but maybe. Maybe that would be one team a guy would write off. Maybe it would. Plus, when do they give huge money to people? When do they overpay? Maybe Chapman? I mean, I don't know that it's applicable in a lot of cases. I'm sure if they're willing to spend big money on somebody, it probably wouldn't affect that. But in a certain case, would it? Maybe. A lot of people around baseball seem to think so. Doesn't exactly do wonders for your reputation. Limits, do you remember yesterday when I talked about my conversation with Frank Coonley all those years ago?
Yeah.
Standing on a street corner while the Pirates were winning, circa 2013-14. The place looked like Wrigley Field across from the Clemente Bridge. And I remember saying, Frank, when you win, all those little problems just go away, don't they? Bet you haven't heard many criticisms lately. The old stroll-in controversy from all those years ago about the Pirates, I don't know, charging. I don't remember what the controversy was with the little bar in Pittsburgh. I don't remember, but it became a big deal because they stunk. The Pirates were winning right now. Nobody would care about this. But all these things become a big deal one after another after another. And this is just the way the baseball world looks at the Pirates. What are you doing? What are you doing? Really? One more game? You waited all this time and now you're going to keep a guy who battled with you all year from a bonus? $200,000? Let's hear what Charrington said. Then him and Shelty both denied that the money had anything to do with it. Let's hear Charrington with reporters yesterday.
Well, there's a report that Rowdy was 4 plate appearances away from earning a bonus. How much is that a factor into this? And how much do you does it concern you that perhaps the optics of this maybe make it look worse?
No factor at all. Zero factor in the decision. Aware of it, certainly, you know, I'm aware of contracts that all players have. No factor at all, zero. And no, I'm not concerned. If you're asking about optics going forward and how it affects business and things like that, no. You know, contracts are negotiated in good faith, and they live out. We feel like we gave Rowdy, you know, lots of opportunity here this year, and he, to his credit, he fought through some difficult times earlier in the year and fought himself out of it, and had periods of success and periods of frustration, and this is just where we got to the season. Had nothing to do with where the plate appearances were lining up.
Nothing to see here. Just got rid of a guy who we constantly defended and gave 8 million chances to all season with 6 games left, 4 plate appearances short of a $200,000 bonus. Nothing to see here. Thoughts, limits?
Credit Ethan
Houlihan. I already broke my rule. I was going to call you Austin all day.
Well, here's the thing. The texters pointed out that 10 seconds into your rant about pumpkin spice, you did the same thing.
I can't help it.
The third time you've already broken it.
This is like trying to quit coffee. I give up. Go ahead.
Yeah, credit to Ethan Houlihan. He does a lot of stuff on social media, and he loves going deep into the numbers on this. He actually put out the incentive numbers for Tellez in December last year, and this is where it all kind of resurfaced from, where Ben Verlander took that and kind of made it national from Ethan's report there. This doesn't surprise me, Joe, and that's the main problem with it. And they said that Michael A. Taylor did not have any incentives or anything like that. It was just a straight base deal, whatever. This is bad for optics. This is terrible for optics. Players talk. agents talk, even if Shelton and Charrington did not want this to get out or whoever it might be, they are naive to think that it wouldn't. Because look, I mean, come on. You're telling me that you don't think that somebody is going to one point find out maybe how quickly someone found out is what surprised Charrington and Shelton, that they're already on the defensive. But this is just another thing where it's not protecting your guys, not setting a good image for the team, not setting a good image for, okay, free agents, you want to come here and you want to play for Pittsburgh, we'll take care of you. And it points me back to this, Joe. They did not want to get rid of Rowdy Tellez at the very beginning of June. And they gave him that extended opportunity to see how it could play out, because we were told, well, if free agents come here and they struggle after a month, or they struggle after a month and a half, are the Pirates just going to cut me? Are they going to give me an extended period of time? And then they do this on the back end of it. They give Rowdy Tellez that extra time that people are like, oh, well, they can't get rid of Rowdy. They might offend free agents. And then they do something that could potentially offend free agents or anyone that might want to come for the play for this ball club
even
in the future. It's ridiculous.
Even if it doesn't, like, that's not even my main concern. That could happen. It could happen. That's not my main concern. It's just classless. That is, it's bad business. They look terrible. That's the bottom line. They look terrible. Again. And this feels like, you know, an exclamation point on a low point in recent Pirates history. This just all feels awful. You're going to, it sounds like, bring back the GM and the manager. Even though since signing his extension after a 15-7 start last year, Derek Shelton is close to 30 games under 500. Even though Ben Charrington has basically butchered almost everything he's touched here. And even though this season fell apart, you're going to come back, you're going to run it back, and stuff like this happens on top of
everything else. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced they're going to just run it back? Because I'm not. I think they might actually make some moves. The worse and worse this thing continues to go. Well, Andy Haynes is gone.
Who cares?
I think the manager and the GM? I think there's a 65% chance the manager's gone.
Oh, you've changed your mind on that
one. I've changed my mind.
All right, let's talk about that, but let's get to the second item here. Could we please? Thank you, City Limits. Mike Tomlin on Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. This is obviously a weekly topic. It's the Steelers quarterback situation. And our very own Jeff Hathorn stepped up with the key question.
Mike, now that you're three games in, what more do you need to see from Justin? Why not name him the starting quarterback going forward?
Because there's no need. You know, I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow. And so I really, there's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate and it's not necessary as we sit here right now. When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health and we have a decision to make, I'll make it and I'll announce it and I'll be really transparent about it. But until then, I don't care how many ways you guys ask me, you know, I got no intentions of making the decision that's unnecessary at this juncture.
I don't have any problem with that. It makes sense to me. He has no reason to say anything. Now, the depth chart that we think of has shifted here, or at least Tomlin labeling Russell Wilson the starter. He could easily shut this down by saying Russ is still the starter whenever Justin comes back. He hasn't said that one time. So it's pretty clear, or should be to everybody, that Justin Fields is the Steelers' new quarterback no matter what, pending further results here. But if he goes out and plays another really good game, and I thought he was great the other day, I thought he was C-level in the first two games, had a great half and a terrible half in Denver, was decent against Atlanta, and I thought was great against the Chargers. I thought he was great. He was the main part of their game plan. They put the ball in his hands and said go. They passed the ball more than they ran it in that game, and he won them the game offensively more than anybody. So he's your starting quarterback right now. He does that again, it doesn't matter if Russell Wilson's healthy or not, but there's no reason right now for Tomlin really to say much about it. There's just no reason for it. So I agree with his tack there on Russell Wilson. Next.
Could I give a brief take real quick on this?
Please.
You know, I'm a big reality TV guy, Joe. Big brother guy. I used to watch a lot of Survivor. And one thing that's very constant in those shows is that you play both sides. And you want to make sure you have allies all around. And I think that that's what Tomlin is doing here. He wants to make sure that he hypes up Justin Fields, say, Justin, you know, you're doing a really good job. We love what he's doing. But still, at the same time, not completely make Russell Wilson feel isolated, feel on an island, and still making it seem like, Russell, I still have your back. But at the same time, Justin, I have your back as well. And he's right in the middle, not wanting to pick a side, playing both sides as a floater.
I don't know that Russell feels like anyone has his back right now.
I think that's because, why Tomlin's trying to act like
it. Well, it has shifted here. Russell would feel like Tomlin had his back if Tomlin was saying, I told y'all Russell Wilson is our guy and he will be whenever he's healthy. He is not saying that. And those little shots on the sidelines of Russ during last weekend's game, during Sunday's game, man, a penny for your thoughts if you're Russell Wilson. A penny for your thoughts. Will he ever start a game in Pittsburgh? I think that's a very reasonable question right now. Don't you?
It's up for debate. I say maybe 50-50.
It's a very good question right now. Next. Before we go on, Limits, there was an unbelievable ending to a baseball game last night. It was the San Diego Padres, who, by the way, Ben Cherington was sort of laughing at a couple years ago when he came on with Ron and I. And I pointed out that the Padres are basically spending $1 billion on players, and his response was, yeah, we'll see how that works out. Well, a couple years later, I think the Padres are headed to the playoffs, and I think the Pirates aren't again. So maybe it is good to spend money. This was the end of their playoff-clinching game last night. I don't know, has anybody ever clinched a playoff spot? With a triple play, Limits? I don't think they have.
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, this was unbelievable. It was the Dodgers, and the game ended on this play.
Rojas on the ground to third. Machado touches third, fires to second. Out at first! Oh, my goodness! It's a triple play! It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. What a way to wrap it up, and they will celebrate in L.A. tonight. An inch closer to the Dodgers, by the way.
Man, was that something. Did you see the highlight on that?
I did. It was a bang-bang play, close play at second. Manny Machado is so good defensively. How has he not won a gold glove?
That has to have been the first time in history that happened. And by the way, there are only two back in the loss column of the Dodgers right now for the division title. The Padres have won 91 games, and there's two more games left in that series that are worth watching. Then they go into Arizona, where the Diamondbacks are hanging on for dear life here with the Braves making a run, with the Mets right there. This is a great race, and you'll notice who isn't part of it. The team that just slapped one of its own players in the face by sending him out the door with six games left when he was four plate appearances away from a $200,000 bonus. That's the news the Pirates are making across baseball. This is the news the Padres are making across baseball. It's really, really depressing is what it is.
And, you know, I stumbled upon this note yesterday.
Yeah.
Guess who has the third worst OPS in all of baseball among qualifiers?
Who?
Brian De La Cruz, the big acquisition at the trade deadline.
The big acquisition at the trade deadline,
mm-hmm.
Yes. While other teams, like the Brewers, the team the Pirates are playing right now, who have the GM that Bob Nutting should have hired when the two finalists were Matt Arnold, then the Brewers' assistant GM, and Ben Cherington, he goes out and makes landmark deals for guys like Adamas, Contreras, maybe their two best players right there. And this guy brings in Brian De La Cruz. All right, Limits, next. Tastes good, doesn't it?
Always.
One more here. Travis Kelce off to a very slow start. And Todd McShay, who I believe is no longer with ESPN, now apparently has license just to go off on people, which I actually don't mind. Where was he when he made this comment?
This was on a podcast with the New York Post.
And who was that Padres call from? Did we credit whoever we played that from?
That was from the Padres TV network, TV yes, radio
was.
Network.
Yes, it was. All right, here's Todd McShay, late of ESPN, on Travis Kelce's rough start.
Every broadcast I watched for the last few weeks, it's like, are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape? That he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet-setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world? That he's drinking on, you know, going to the U.S. Open and he's got cocktails in it? Right. What I do know is I want you to take a picture from preseason 2022 and then take a picture preseason 2024. They're barely the same human being, Ryan. And everyone's like, we got to get the ball. Why isn't he part of the offense? The defense is double. Yeah, the coverage is this. Here's the thing. Bottom line with Kelce. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it. And he still finds a way to make a play or two here and there and shows up in some clutch moments. But he's not the same guy right now. There's no debating that his body type is different. He's not in the same shape. He's not the same. Like, I don't see the same explosiveness.
Man, I like this Todd McShay, don't you, Limits?
Fiery. I don't think I've ever seen this side of him
before. The cocktails and the partying with the most famous person on the planet. This is great stuff.
He's really been able to let loose since not being at ESPN.
Can you get him, please, for tomorrow's show? Let's make an effort there. Is he on social media? You're just the guy to do it.
I can definitely ask.
I also would like to get Peter King. I think we can get him. He was talking on a podcast about the Steelers. I know this is just the kind of team Mike Tomlin likes. Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah. How about this from McShay? He's also going at
please.
It on Twitter.
Yes.
Get up, put out the, remember what the Mel Kiper dumb comment that too high safety should be outlawed? McShay last week quote tweeted it and said, he's lucky I'm not quote unquote in the building anymore. What are we talking about?
I love this Todd McShay. Let's get him. Maybe even weekly. Let's try.
His header picture is a picture of him on SportsCenter with Mel Kiper. So he's not at ESPN anymore?
I don't think so. I don't think he is. Did he just say he's not in the building? I don't know. Check his Twitter bio. Where is he?
That's what I was looking for. It doesn't say anything.
Well, then that would be the first clue, I would think. Let's hit the lines for a moment, Austin, before we get back to our, well, what's now become a 12-pack, because there's a college football story or two that are brewing that I'd love to get to. Who do we have?
Let's go to Seth. He's on Long Island, Joe.
I was born in Long Island, Seth, in Northport, Long Island, to be precise. How are you?
Hey, great, Joe and Austin. Great show. Love the show. Listening for a long time. And I'm calling from Deer Park, which is about 10 minutes from Northport, Joe. So, been a lifelong Long Island resident, 50-year Steeler fan, Pirate fan, and bottom line is also a Yankee fan as well. But to your point, talking about Rowdy Tellez, horrific treatment of an individual, and you know, four games, $20,000 is a drop in the bucket for these Major League Baseball owners, right? So it sends a message to people looking to come there potentially for free agency.
And yeah, like I said, and I really appreciate the call from a Long Islander, but it's really not for me so much about what might happen in a free agent situation. It's just terrible optics either way. It just is. It just makes you look horrible, especially when you're not winning again. And the Pirates, I believe, are a game behind last year's place. Where they finished last year, I should say. You talk about horrible optics. To finish with fewer wins than last year after you add a prodigious talent like Paul Skeens? Wow. 412-928-9370. May I have the next in our series of cans here? Open one. Matthew Sluka cashing in his chips and leaving Las Vegas. It's a pretty good opening line here from this story I'm reading. I know not where. This is UNLV's quarterback. The starting quarterback. He's leaving the team in September. They're undefeated. They're getting votes in the AP poll. He said on social media, I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld. Despite discussions, says Sluka, it became clear these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program. Thanks a lot, Sluka. We just got off, or UNLV, for God's sakes. The only thing we're ever known for, I guess, is Randall Cunningham. Didn't he go there? I think he did. Could you look that up while I talk? One reporter says that all boils down to, quote, Sluka has been approached with more money to transfer. Yeah, pretty clearly this is an NIL issue, and pretty clearly this kid just quit on his team. But I'd like to again go back to the roots of this problem, if you consider it a problem, and that is the coaches, the adults in their room, and all the guys that quit on their teams over the years. And now the student athletes, so to speak, are just following suit. I think of all kinds of examples. From Ben Howland leaving Pitt. Oh, that was for his dream job. I forgot. So that was okay. That before they played their most important games of the season, he was known to have one foot out the door. I think of Mark D'Antonio in Cincinnati quitting on his team before a bowl game, leaving for more money. It's the American way. Go do it. Except if you're a player. Then don't go do it, right? The adults in the room can do it. So yeah, D'Antonio went to Michigan State and didn't coach his team in a bowl game. His assistant, Pat Narduzzi, was going to do it, but instead they brought in Brian Kelly, their new coach, and he wound up doing it. But nobody ever cared about what the players thought or how that went at the time with many, many cases. But now when the players want to leave, even in the middle of a season, then it's a big issue and how dare they? Don't forget where all of this started. You want to trace it back to college presidents, you can do that too. But I start with the coaches going into living rooms and preaching loyalty and how I'll be with your son for 4 years and going into locker rooms and saying, look at the guy next to you. You got to be loyal to that guy. And then at the first hint of a little more money, quitting on your team. So is it any wonder that the players would do the same thing when they're given the same opportunity? Next. That is incredible, though. Four games into a season. Did you see that story?
And yeah, you just get up and leave.
Get up and leave.
Must not have been full commitments with NIL and money that was being paid out to him.
Show me the money, man.
It's just so ridiculous.
Show me the money,
man. Like,
we wouldn't do the same thing?
No, what I'm saying is,
if they reneged on you?
It's ridiculous that these agreements can't be, it looks kind of binding to me, right? Like, he just decided.
Maybe they should sign Rowdy Tellez. Making a financial commitment to him.
He's a multi-ability pitcher. He's a pitcher.
He can pitch.
He can play
quarterback, right?
He's a two-way player.
He may still have eligibility left. Next. Thank you, City Limits. Are we talking enough about Pitt football? 4-0? First time since they've been in a conference that they've ever had an unbeaten non-conference season? This is incredulent. I was talking to Doran on the way out and Crowley the other day. Are we crazy to dream of a home playoff game for Pitt? The actual college football playoff? Are we allowed to dream of this? I think so. It's one of the reasons that you want to get off to a really good start, even if it later proves to have been misleading. You know what I mean? At least you get to have the fun of dreaming big. Pitt never did that in the old Big East. Everybody else did. South Florida, Cincinnati, Rutgers, Connecticut, West Virginia, of course. They all had at least one great unbeaten start. that enabled their fans to dream big. We're 6-0. We're 11th in the country. We're Rutgers. Are we going to play for the national championship? Well, no, as it turned out, but you got to dream for a while. Even the great Kenny Pickett year that lost to Western Michigan was sort of a blight on the, you know, you knew they weren't going to be playing for a national championship. You know what I mean? This is great stuff. If they keep winning, they go to 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, then you can really dream about this. And one thing that seems apparent here, Austin Bechtold, is that Eli Holstein is the real deal at quarterback. He seems to be. He seems to be. He's on some Heisman watch lists.
You know, it's funny because I was writing a Drew Aller story for Nittany Sports Now yesterday, and every time I was looking up quarterback analytical data, Eli Holstein in a lot of different categories is better than Drew Aller, and he's top 10 in a lot of categories. Touchdowns responsible for, touchdowns, completion percentage.
Wouldn't you love to see a Pitt-Penn State game in October?
Playoff game?
Oh, would that be great? But anyway, yeah, I hear you.
He's terrific, man. And I mean, when you get a transfer in from Alabama, a guy who couldn't see the field there as a redshirt freshman because it's Alabama and they have other guys. Pitt, man, they are very fortunate to have Eli Holstein, and a great job by the recruiting staff to be able to bring him in because his poise in the pocket is evident. The comebacks against West Virginia and Cincinnati make me a believer in him, and it makes me a believer in the team because you know Narduzzi is going to figure out the defense.
Our six-pack, which turned into something more than that, brought to you by Bet365. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're going to get to Starkey's Card of the Week in just a moment. We have Mark Cabali talking Steelers later in the show. We have some Justin Fields talk coming up. There's at least one person out there who's telling the world that folks around the league are waiting for Justin Fields to make mistakes. Are we going to see that at some point? I don't know. I mean, yes, we'll see a couple, but you know what they mean. Waiting for him to fall apart is what they mean. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Do you have a guess for Starkey's Card of the Week, Mr. Limits? Maybe coming off the Steeler game? Maybe Rowdy Tellez?
Maybe it's Matthew Sluka, the UNLV quarterback. I just found this note before we get to the general from 24/7 Sports, Carl Reed. All financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent and they collectively felt that his market value had increased per source. How about that?
Now that becomes a bigger question. Does it lead you to worry about the guy we just talked about, Eli Holstein? Don't you? I'm not saying anything about him, right? But just for any school in the country, especially when it's not Alabama. When you have a rising star who potentially could make tons of money, does it begin to worry you? Wait a second. Would this guy step away or is he here for just 1 year?
Or does Alabama want him back? LSU, they try to fix their quarterback issue. Notre Dame in a year.
That's part of the landscape here. Why don't we talk about that at the top of the hour? Because this is a pretty huge story. 412-928-9370. I'm going to say it's a Rowdy Tellez card, and I think it might be worth
$200,000. I had a conversation with the general about that beforehand. I'm going to say that the card of the week is going to be TJ. Well, actually, I'll go Nick Herbig.
Oh,
I'll go Nick Herbig.
Card. Listen to the show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. That's your chance to win the card or cards of the week. And to present the card of the week, our friend Jeff Patton, General Patton, we like to call him, from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. General, what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me. You talk about a case of recency bias. How about forgetting about Shohei Ohtani 6-for-6, three home runs.
Ooh.
Going over the 50-50 mark, we cannot not honor that.
You're right about that, General. And what a man
not
you...
Not to mention having the greatest day, arguably, of all time. He also did it on the day he went over 50-50.
I think, you know, and I'm trying to measure this, General, and Austin, I think this might have been a top 5 day in sports history for team sports, an individual day, because when you add it up, he went 6-for-6. That's pretty good on its own. He hit three home runs. That would be good on its own, but now you're combining it with 6-for-6. He had 10 RBIs. That would be pretty good on its own, but now you're combining it with three home runs and going 6-for-6. He had 2 stolen bases, which is decent. And as you said, General, it happened on the night that they clinched a playoff spot and on the night where he became the first 50-50 guy. He hit both those benchmarks that night, 50 home runs and 50 steals, and he had 17 total bases in the game. And for good measure, he fell a tag out at third short of hitting for the cycle, and he would have been the first guy in baseball history to hit for the cycle and have that fact be an afterthought to everything else he did.
It's incredible. And on the night that he went over 50-50, right? The immaculate reception wouldn't have been immaculate in September. Immaculate because it was a playoff game.
Yes. All good points. All right, so the card will be up around noon today, yes?
It certainly will. Yeah, we have a 2018 Topps Shohei Ohtani rookie card.
What a wonderful man you've become, General. Austin's very proud of you.
And we'll throw in a Rowdy Tellez on the way out.
Yay! What about Michael A. Taylor card, too? He gets lost in the shuffle.
Is the Rowdy Tellez card...
I meant my way out, not his.
Good point there. Yeah. He became Michael DFA Taylor by the end of the year. Is the Rowdy Tellez card by any chance worth $200,000?
It's not. It's a little short of that.
All right.
The Ohtani might be worth someday, but not the Rowdy.
Get rid of a couple zeros there, Joe.
Thank you, General.
Have a good day, boys.
Thanks, General.
Thanks.
That's a real-life philanthropist. Would you agree with that?
Did you see the video that he did with Ryan Barucki and the Pirates the other day?
No.
They featured the card castle with the General. Ryan Barucki's a big fan of collecting cards.
I mentioned my man cave in the basement and how... there's a new couch in there. Well, right above the couch is a gift from the General. Jack Youngblood and Merlin Olsen in a framed photo. Huge. Not a photo, a framed. What's bigger than a photo? I mean, it is a photo,
like
technically.
A big poster?
Yeah. Framed behind glass with the classic Rams uniforms on, the greatest uniforms in sports history.
Is it signed?
It's really quite the centerpiece by both of them.
That's awesome.
I don't even know. I don't think either one of them are with us anymore. I don't know that, though. I don't know.
Merlin Olsen isn't.
All right, top of the hour. This is a story, the more I think about it. When you see a starting quarterback from an unbeaten team who is getting votes in the AP poll up and leave, apparently because he can make bigger money elsewhere, does that strike fear into you as a Pitt fan with the Eli Holstein situation? Not that he would up and leave, although I would think at any program in the country, almost, that might be a concern now. But what about after 1 year if that happened? Like, how can you not at least wonder how long for Holstein? Do you agree with that sentiment or that idea or that worry?
I know a lot of people are starting to worry about that. And I think just the good in everyone wants to say, no, that couldn't happen. I mean, Eli Holstein will be loyal. It'll be fine. There should be concern.
Or
there should be reason.
Right.
Just because that's the landscape of college football now. Not individualizing it to Holstein, saying that he's a concern, but what college football has become as a business that you can't control.
Yeah.
What this player is doing for UNLV is basically what Garrett Blunt pretty much did. Except saying, you have to release me. This guy's just walking away from the program. And declaring his own red shirt. How can you declare your own red shirt? Like, you're not hurt. Your academics apparently are fine because you're playing in the game.
And I'm not sure I blame him for it. If someone's out there offering him millions of dollars that he may never make in his whole life, and the best way to do that is to preserve himself, that's the system we've created. And again, you want to talk about quitting on teams, walking out on teammates or players, simply for more money. Always start with the coaches. Always start with the coaches who did that exact same thing, who created the pattern. Okay? 412-928-9370. What do you make of this? And where do you see college sports going from here? And does it create worry around a guy like Holstein? I mean, he's sort of a classic case of what this looks like in college sports. Guy goes to a program not known for gigantic NIL payments, suddenly becomes a Heisman Trophy candidate, which you can see him on some lists right now. What if this takes off even further from here? It has to create worry. Like, wait a second, is he going to stay? That's not just for this program. That's probably for a lot, all the way to UNLV, for God's sakes. Is Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon involved in this? Greg Anthony? I mean, this is what UNLV is known for, that and Randall Cunningham, right? Did you ever confirm that?
Randall Cunningham is UNLV.
Thank you, Limits.